Welcome to Tales from the Crow, a limited part series based on true stories from your narrator. Check under the bed, turn the lights off, and prepare to have some nightmares. Welcome to Tales from the Crow. Welcome to Tales from the Crow. Thank you for joining me tonight for our third and final part. I hope you've enjoyed our journey thus far. I know tonight will not disappoint. As we take one last look into my personal horror vault and experience paralysis together, go snooping where we don't belong, and encounter a man who's escaped. I guess we'll find out tonight. Tales from the Crow.
This is the prisoner.
I was always the last to fall asleep whenever I would spend the night with somebody. I've just always been a night owl. One summer, when I was staying at my grandmother's, my cousin and I decided to have a camp out in the living room. We watched a few scary movies, and she drifted off to sleep. As I said, I was awake for a while, watching TV, playing games, trying to get tired. At one point, I got up to change the channel. In order to do this, I had to stand on my tippy toes to reach above the big screen TV and hit the channel button on the VCR that the cable was hooked up to. As I was doing this, off to my right was the conversation window that looked into the kitchen, and past that to the front door, with the hallway on the left there. You know, the one where I saw the witch that chased me out of the house. Anyway, as I'm changing channels, I hear footsteps coming up the hall, getting closer. Before I knew it, standing on the other side of the conversation window was a man. This man was in a prison suit, black and white stripes, and he was holding a ball and chain. On the other end of the room that I was in was an accordion door. This man looked at me, looked forward, and began walking towards the door to the room that I was in. This accordion door had stained glass on it, so once the man reached the door, all I could see was his silhouette, and he turned and walked back towards the conversation window. He did this at least 3 or 4 times, until finally he stopped at the door again, slowly turned towards it, and began to reach out for the door. At this point, I let out a scream, to which I saw the hall light turn on and my grandmother run out. When she got out into the living room and began to comfort me, she asked what was wrong. I told her, "Grandma, I reached up and I was just trying to change the channel, but I saw this man in the kitchen." My grandma stopped me. She asked, "The man have on a prison suit, holding a ball and chain?" My eyes widened and my jaw dropped as I asked her how she could possibly know that. "Did you see him too when you came in here?" She then proceeded to tell me a story about how years prior, She sat out in the same room watching TV and heard someone in the kitchen. As she looked out the conversation window, she too saw the man in the suit walking back and forth. There are multiple stories that have happened to multiple family members over the years, confirming for us the hauntings that we have always believed in these different houses and apartments. Is there something attached to our family? Or was the land that the houses were built on desecrated? I guess we may never know. For me, the times in my life that I've been plagued with sleep paralysis, to begin to describe the things that I've experienced, not knowing if they were real or if they were all part of my brain as it melted in my head, making up all these scenarios. I remember the first sleep paralysis that I ever encountered. I lay there, unable to move. And at first, everything seemed okay. But that's when she sat down. She sat down right beside me. I could feel as she slowly knelt over my paralyzed body, her breath going down the back of my neck. "Wake up! Wake up!" she said over and over. I tried everything I could to move. I could feel the goosebumps going up and down my entire body. "Wake up!" she said. I knew if I could just move a finger, if I could just move a toe, "Wake up!" I knew that it could be over as soon as I could just move a finger. And I did. And she was gone. This time, anyway. I wasn't so lucky the second time, which came the very next morning. I again awoke, my eyes fixed on the other side of the dark room as I could see the silhouette of a person as it got closer and sat down beside me one more time. "Wake up! Wake up!" she said again. Once again, I knew if I could just move a single muscle that I would be okay. This time, I couldn't. She knelt down and breathed on my neck. I could feel her tongue behind my ear. "Wake up!"
just a single muscle. Praying in my mind, God, please just let me move. Finally, I was able to move my toe. And I awoke from yet another sleep paralysis episode. This also wouldn't be the last time, just the last time that I had to see her, hear her, feel her. Other times, she said her friends, my eyes would be paralyzed shut, but with the light that illuminated in the room, I could see the silhouettes dart past the source of light in the other side of the room. I could hear them whispering to each other, what is he doing? I don't know. As they would get closer and closer to the bed, and every time as I would tremble and pray to just move a single muscle. Sleep paralysis. The witch's ride. Incubus. Succubus. Whatever it is. I just want to know if it's real. Or not.
This is You Won't Like What You See.
For 25 years, those words haunted me. I was 4 years old. My family was about to go out on a boat for the day. I was afraid of being on a boat because I didn't know how to swim. My family decided that they would leave me with my great-grandmother, who we'll refer to as Granny. My grandparents and parents and brother and cousins all left to go on the boat. Right before this, I was across the street at my grandma's house. She told me I could borrow any movies that I wanted to take over to Granny's. I remember picking out the live-action Flintstones movie, among a few others. My mom walked me across the street to Granny's house, and they left. Granny and I sat, and she asked if I was hungry. I told her I was. She said she was going to make me some tomato soup. Now, I liked tomato soup unless it was, as I would say, made pink, which was a thing that my granny decided to do most times by adding milk. I hated it like this. And so I reminded her, that sounds great, Granny, just, remember, I don't like it pink. She said, I know, I remember. And then went off to the kitchen. And a few moments later, she came back with a bowl of tomato soup, made pink. So after a few bites that I was able to force down, we went into the living room and talked and watched Flintstones for a little bit before Granny told me that she needed to go fold some clothes in her room. As she started to walk out from the living room, she stopped, turned and looked at me and said, while I'm back here, don't open the closet. You won't like what you see. And then proceeded down the hallway. And as I said, I was 4 years old. And what four-year-old isn't going to wonder just what is in the closet that you were told to not go into? So I stood up from my chair, crept over towards the hallway, and peeked down. I could see Granny in her room, folding clothes. I walked back into the living room and looked at the accordion doors in front of me. I slowly reached out my right hand to the right set of doors and slowly began to pull them open. Once I had the doors fully open, is when the horror set in. You see, standing in the closet, in the back right corner under the shelf, was a body. I don't know if this body was human, or maybe human at one point. All I saw standing in front of me was a hunched over, stretched out, dry, brown-skinned skeleton with its mouth agape, looking at me. I screamed and fell back onto the floor and began to cry. Granny walked down the hallway into the living room, shook her head, and closed the doors. She turned, knelt down beside me, and put her hand on my shoulder, and she uttered the phrase that 25 years later still haunts me.
I told you, you wouldn't like what you see.
I'll never know what that creature was that was in the closet that day. I'll never be able to ask Granny, or my grandma, or grandpa, just what it was that was in Granny's closet. But Granny was right. I didn't like what I saw. I hope you enjoyed tonight's finale of Tales from the Crow. I cannot begin to thank you enough for listening over the last few weeks. Tonight, I wanted to take a moment to thank someone who is no longer with us. My grandmother, who we affectionately called Tubba. Tubba died a few years ago around Christmas, but growing up, she was our sanctuary. She led us down the path of horror and let us know that we were safe in our fears. To you, Grandma, wherever you are, I hope you're listening. Thank you for giving us a life full of fun, spooky, and everything in between. This one goes out to you. And again, thank you all for listening and joining me on Tales from the Crow.